On October 25, 1994, a woman named Susan Smith appeared on the doorsteps of residents living near the John D. Lake area of South Carolina, claiming she had just been carjacked and then her two boys were kidnapped in the midst of this crime. They phoned 911 for her. They came out, took a statement, got her to the police station where she went into more detail. Her husband, David Smith, was not present at the time of this carjacking, but he was obviously notified and met her at the station. According to Susan Smith, as she was sitting at an intersection waiting for the light to turn green, a black man holding a gun jumped into her car and made her drive several miles before he made her get out of the car, but leaving her two boys, ages 3 and 14 months, before speeding off. Susan and David Smith went on national television over the course of 8 days, begging for the safe return of their two boys. Here is one of those interviews.
I would like to say to whoever has my children that they please, please bring them home to us where they belong.
Now, both she and her husband were given polygraph tests. David Smith passed. However, Susan Smith's test came back inconclusive, which means she did not pass, but she did not fail. But she was not being truthful in some of her answers. The police from very early on were very skeptical about this story because of the time frame that it happened, and just the details were a little strange and bizarre. So finally, around day 8, Susan came in and the detectives cornered her. They started pulling apart layers and layers of her story because they had got information from someone about that intersection where she claimed she was carjacked. Had something to do with the traffic lights. As we know, if you're coming home late at night, sometimes traffic lights are steady blinking because there's really not a lot of cars out there at that time. There's no need for them to stay red or stay green, so they're just constantly flashing. So they were made aware by someone who works in that area or someone who worked in that department gave them very good information about those traffic lights. So they cornered her with that on top of the constant changing details each time they interviewed her. So they got her in again on day 8. They allowed her to write a statement. They said, go home, write the statement, everything that happened, start from the beginning, start fresh, get a good night's sleep, come back, give us your statement. When she came back on day 9, she had a statement written, a little different this time from the first few that she had already given. But when the detective finally pressed her, that's when Susan Smith broke down and claimed that the story that she gave about being carjacked was made up. According to her, she was feeling quite suicidal. Things were not working out right in her marriage and other avenues of her life, and she wanted to kill herself and her two boys. So she got her boys up, who were sleeping, got them in the back seat of their car, strapped them in their car seat with the intent on drowning herself and her boys. However, she decided to get out of the car but still let the car go into the lake, with her two boys still strapped inside. The police went back to the lake because they had already searched that area and that lake, because again, they weren't really feeling her story in the beginning. But the car had went out a little further than what they were searching. When they finally got the divers out there, they were able to recover the car, pull it up out of that lake, only to discover her two boys deceased in the back seat. She was charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder against her own boys. Here is a detective that was able to get the confession out of her. He gave an interview not long ago about how he was able to get Susan Smith to finally reveal what she had did to her boys.
Was getting Susan Smith to tell the truth after so many days of denial, how difficult was that?
It was difficult, particularly she had been interviewed on several occasions before and was actually given a polygraph before. So when I went up there and started the interview, I knew in my own mind that I couldn't be hard on her because the last time somebody got difficult with her and hollered at her, she walked out of the interview. I knew that's what I was facing. And I also knew, John, that if we didn't get something out of Susan Smith, the case may not have been solved because only she and the man upstairs knew what she did. Nobody else saw it. Nobody else proved it. So I knew it was difficult, so I took it very slowly, 5 days of interviews to get to the end.
Well, actually, I have to give credit to a maintenance man in the area who knew that the traffic light, where she says the kidnap occurred, doesn't turn red if there's no cars at the intersection. It's always green. And she was saying that she was stopped there, and that's where she was kidnapped. And so when I confronted her with that, I finally got the truth out of her. And what I did, I gave her another avenue to go in. I gave her the avenue of, could this have happened somewhere else because the light would have turned green and you wouldn't have been stopped. And finally, after a while, she went down that road and said, yes, it happened over here 10 miles away at a little town. And so then I knew that probably had her foot in the door and that she probably was going to tell us later on what happened. That turned the point. In fact, I told her to go home, and I said, go home and write a statement as to everything that happened when you went to the new place. She came in the next day with a statement in detail about it. And of course, the sheriff and I then decided, well, we'd tell her we had a surveillance of the place. And when we did that, it kind of went down. It went downhill for her, and she finally confessed.
And when she confessed, what kind of emotions did she show?
She dropped to the floor on her knees and crying hysterically. And it appeared to be a true lying. Maybe she's lying now because she got caught. And she's, you know, it's a combination. Or she's lying about reliving what happened. Could be either way.
And was that when she told you where the boys were?
Yeah.
How did she say that?
She said, well, you won't find the boys. I think something to the effect that they're with the car and the water. And then she later on told us in detail about what her in mind was. When the car was rolling, she realized something was really wrong. She said she tried to go in. She wanted to go in and stop the car, but didn't know how to put the brakes on and everything with the car rolling. Whether or not you want to believe that or not, that's questionable.
Okay, so again, came down to that intersection where she claimed this happened and the traffic lights and just the ever-changing stories. It's very difficult to keep the same story going when it's a lie because details are going to change because you're not going to quite remember what you said the first two or three times because it's a lie. So you have to remember what you said. And because this was such an explosive story, it was understandable that she couldn't remember what she said. All right. So how did we get here? Who is Susan Smith? Susan Smith is a woman that was living in South Carolina her whole life. She was born and raised there. She had a troubled past, according to Susan and people close to her. Her mother and her father separated. Her father actually committed suicide before she was 10 years old. Her mother remarried, and according to Susan, she was raped by her stepfather. She told her mother that this was going on, and her mother just didn't want to deal with it. She allegedly told school officials who dealt with it, but it really wasn't handled in a way that we would expect it to. Obviously, if you're accusing someone of rape and you're underage, there's definitely going to be some police work involved with that, you know, but nothing really came of that. She met David. They were quite young when they got married. I mean, Susan was 23 when she was arrested and charged for murder of her kids. And their marriage was full of flim-flam. There was a lot of infidelity on both sides. She had moved out at one point, but they were living with his parents, which obviously is very, very stressful. You know, you're a couple trying to make it on your own, and it just wasn't working out. So you're back and forth between her parents, his parents, and it just was a mess. Susan started getting acquainted with a man named Thomas Findlay, who was apparently a rich executive in South Carolina. People knew him very well. He was very smitten with Susan. They had started seeing each other when Susan and David were separated. And despite the fact that he apparently really was fond of her, he wrote her a letter not long before she decided to murder her children that he did not want kids. He did not want to be involved with someone with kids. And that sent Susan in a downward spiral mentally. And she just could not take it. So this is when she came up with the plot to drown her boys so she could possibly be with this man since she is now kid-free. Now, while her kids were missing, Susan was apparently wondering, was Mr. Findlay asking about her? Was he going to come over and see her and talk to her? This is according to her friends. And they thought that was very odd behavior for someone who had just alleged that her children were carjacked, or excuse me, they were kidnapped in the midst of a carjacking. So that was strange to them. And again, with this goofy story that she told. So that's what they're thinking, that she was so upset over this breakup that she wanted to get attention from that man back. She wanted him to feel sorry for her. You know, he obviously would know the story because it was all over the news. And she was hoping that that would bring him back her way. But, you know, that's one hell of a way to want to pursue a relationship by murdering your own children. So Susan Smith had a trial. And her defense team claimed that because of her childhood and her past, she was severely depressed. She was suicidal. She wasn't in her right mind. This is why she killed her boys. The state, or the prosecuting side, said this was a woman scorned who wanted to get her lover back. So she acted in the most heinous way and, you know, chose her needs over her children. Now, something I always say on social media, if you guys follow me, and I'll say it again because it's very true in this story, when the sexual needs of a parent or guardian become the only priority, the children suffer. So here we are again, a woman who was so fixated on the man that she was willing to do anything, and that anything was murder. And you just have to think, because drowning deaths are quite gruesome. You literally feel your body dying. And these two babies sitting in the back of their car seats as this water is filling up, and I'm sure they're screaming and hollering for their mommy and daddy, and it's just so sickening and sad just to think about. So that is the story of Susan Smith. She's had a very interesting almost 30 years in jail. She was obviously found guilty of 2 counts of first degree murder. She received a life in prison sentence with the possibility of parole after 30 years. Now, that means she's up for parole in 2024. That's right around the corner. Will they release her? Will they not? Well, let me just give you a little background of what's been going on since she's been in jail. Since she's been in jail, 2 prison guards have lost their jobs because she was having an affair with both of them. One of them actually gave a television interview. He admits that he was wrong, but said that she was very cunning, very manipulative. And that's quite believable considering she went on television for 8 days straight pretending that her children were kidnapped by a black man when she knew all along they were sitting at the bottom of a lake. She's also gotten into some fights. That's common. I mean, jail is no fun place to be, so I can only imagine what goes on. So fighting is expected, but that's going to come up at her parole hearing, along with these sexual adventures that she had with people she had no business with. And on top of the egregious nature of her crime, now believe it or not, a lot of people compare her to Andrea Yates, the woman that I did on season 3, episode 1, if you want to go check that out, if you have not. She's the woman from Texas who drowned all 5 of her children. However, she had an extensive mental history where she was admitted to the hospital on multiple occasions leading up to her drowning her 5 boys. She did not elude police for 8 or 9 days. She sat there on the couch after she drowned her kids and allowed herself to tell the story in truthfulness and was arrested on the scene. Susan sent these people on a wild goose chase, wasting resources, and even furthermore, getting an imaginary black man involved, knowing that she did the whole thing herself. So I personally don't think she's going to get granted parole, just because if you really take away the fighting in jail, the sleeping around with prison guards, stick to the facts. She decided that her sexual selfish needs were her only priority, so she took away the lives of her 2 children and destroyed the life of her husband. He divorced her, he wrote a book, and I'm really confident that he's probably going to be present at the parole hearing. Who knows what he'll say, if he says anything at all. But again, this is not a woman who I feel has redeemed herself after 30 years. She's been on good behavior now because she knows that parole hearing is coming up. But, you know, again, if we stick to the facts of her case, they're pretty disturbing. And somebody like her belongs where she is for the rest of her life. She's in her 50s now. She spent more than half of her life in jail, and she just needs to spend the remaining however long she has, another 20, 30, 40 years, as people live a long time now, behind bars. So that is the story of Susan Smith. However, I'm going to add a part 2 to this in 2 weeks because I think there's something we need to talk about that happens a lot. And Susan Smith did this. White women that accuse black and Hispanic men and women in particular of crimes that they actually committed themselves. Why do white women do this? Susan Smith had these detectives believing that a black man holding a gun carjacked her and kidnapped her boys. We really need to have that discussion, because a lot of things could have happened if those detectives really bought her story and actually decided to go pursue a black man that fit the description that Susan Smith gave. So part two, I'm going to have somebody on there with me to talk about this. He is very familiar with this case and this whole topic in general, and how devastating that could have been for the lives of one imaginary black man that she created. So look for that in 2 weeks. Next week, we'll be discussing Gannon Stouch and his evil stepmom, Letitia Stouch. But send me your feedback on this case. Do you think Susan Smith is a toxic mom? Hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, email, wherever you find me. You know I'll respond. We'll chat soon.